Now, I'm not one of those persons who likes to recommend or to try to recommend Buddhism to non-Buddhists by describing it as a scientific religion. I think this is an absolute misnomer and based on great confusion of thought. At the same time, one can say that there's a certain analogy, in a way, between Buddhism and science, even though their respective fields and their methods are rather different. We may say that both Buddhism and science represent an effort to ascertain the truth. Science, of course, is concerned with the truth about material phenomena. It's concerned with scientific truth. And Buddhism is concerned, of course, not with scientific truth, but with spiritual truth. But inasmuch as this spiritual truth is to be discovered and realized by man himself, there is this analogy, as it were, with science. And for this reason, because it speaks in these terms of the discovery of spiritual truth and the realization of spiritual truth by man, Buddhism places a very great emphasis indeed on personal experience of that truth, direct experience of that truth. This we saw last year when we had our series of talks on Zen Buddhism, which some of you may remember. We saw that Zen was a special transmission outside the scriptures, no dependence on words and letters, direct pointing to the heart or the mind of man, seeing into one's own nature, realizing Buddhahood. So, this is the emphasis of Zen, on direct experience, but in one way and another, it's really the direct, really the emphasis of the whole Buddhist tradition. And this is why in Buddhism, we may say, meditation is so important. This importance of meditation represents, we may say, the practical corollary of the general nature of Buddhism itself. Because meditation is regarded as sort of avenue, sort of royal road leading to the direct experience of truth or reality for oneself. Now Buddhism, as many of you know, is very rich in systems of meditation. These will be dealt with in detail in a later talk in this series. But some of you will be familiar with some at least of these systems already, the system known as the mindfulness of breathing and the various visualization exercises, either of abstract forms, colors and so on, or of different Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, then the mantra recitation, and so on. These are some of the better known, more popular forms of meditation. Now, one could go on indefinitely pursuing the implications of the fact or the ramifications of the fact that Buddhism is a non-theistic religion. But this isn't really necessary. Once one grasps the fact that Buddhism is non-theistic and that it therefore emphasizes the importance, the value of direct experience, personal experience of reality, the importance of meditation and all the rest of it, these all follow as it were automatically. Once one grasps the fact that Buddhism is a non-theistic religion, one might put it in terms of the popular proverb and say that if one grasps hold of the bull by the horns, then the tail of the bull comes along of its own accord. So in the same way, if one grasps this fact of the non-theistic character of Buddhism, then its emphasis on experience, the importance which it attributes to meditation and all these other characteristics, they follow